Amen. Matthew 5:48, something says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Back to where we started. The sanctuary and all of its services were designed to get us back to where we started. And you know how it works. When we were created in the image of God. We were created in the presence of God. For the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. I'm reading now in Genesis 1:26. And the Lord and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God made he him. Male and female created he them. Let us make man in our own image. That's how we were formed. The Lord God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Let us make man. He created us in his presence. He created us with his image. That's where we started. We started before the very Shekinah glory of God. But through disobedience, through rebellion, through hard-headedness, God, if I could just get over my hard-headedness, we were expelled from the presence of God. An angel with a fiery sword that swung in every direction guarded the entrance into the garden. And now, for the last 6,000 years, God has been working feverishly to get us back to where we started. In order to help us to understand the process, in order for us to comprehend the process through which God restores man to his image, he developed this thing called the sanctuary. The sanctuary was not the saving place. It was merely the school where we're taught about the saving place. Would you understand that now? No man is saved because of the sanctuary, but because of the sanctuary, we understand how we are saved. The Bible says in Matthew 5, go there with me, Matthew 5. The Bible says in Matthew 5, and I'm now in verse 43. Matthew 5:43, and you know these scriptures. The Bible says in Matthew 5:43, you have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemy, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may become children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the publicans do the same thing? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even publicans do the same? Be ye therefore perfect. Be ye therefore perfect. Be ye therefore perfect. I said it, because Jesus said it. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Jesus admonishes us to be perfect like God. And it scares the daylights out of us to hear Jesus say something like that. Because we've been taught, we've been conditioned, we've been brainwashed to believe that you cannot be perfect, that you cannot overcome sin, that you cannot be victorious. And we have used our failures and the failures of others as an excuse as to why you cannot live righteous in the sight of a holy God. But the sanctuary rebuts that and refutes it. It says, hey, listen, the day is coming when we will stand in the presence of God. Not a spot, not a wrinkle, not any such thing. And he will not just do it for one individual, but that his entire church will be holy and without blemish. Yes. Amen. It can be done. Jesus demonstrated that it can be done. For he met us where we were, became who we are, and overcame where we failed.
That's right.
And then he looks at us and he says, hey, see, you see what I just did? Now you be as perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. I did it, now you do it. All the excuses, all of the reasons, all the rationales why I say it can't be done was refuted in the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What's your excuse now? What is your excuse now? What is your reason now as to why it can't be done? What's your argument now? It can't be done. Jesus did it. And if he can do it, he says to you, you
be therefore perfect as the Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matter of fact, the perfection of Christian character, to have the image of God reproduced so much in us that we overcome every trait of character. It's so powerful that it is described as the mystery of godliness. Go and read me about this in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and then I'll be done. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 Timothy 3, verse 16. Look what he says. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Well, what is the mystery of godliness? Well, good question. I'm glad you asked. God was manifest in the flesh. That God will not only be with us, Jesus says, my spirit will not only be with you, but that he will dwell in you. Every single time that you make a pure decision, every time you say no to the longings of the flesh, every time you overcome the tempers and the attitudes that does so easily beset us, every time you make a righteous decision, it is because God is dwelling in you. You are experiencing the incarnation as verily as when Jesus walked on earth among us. Yeah. Yeah. I will dwell with you, but more than that, I will dwell in you, Jesus says in John chapter 16. And then it says that he was seen by angels. Wherefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and that sin that does so easily beset us. We are spectacles unto angels and unto men. We preach unto the Gentiles. For this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world, opens unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Justified by the Spirit. I don't even need to get into that one. And then I love what it says, believed on in the world. The world will know that you are my disciples when you have love one for another and then received up into glory. When I see Jesus, then, but the process must take place. I must go through the process, the sacrifice, the blood, the cleansing, the word of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the power of individual and corporate prayer. It's designed to get us back to where we started. I'm going to say that one more time. The sacrifice, the blood, the cleansing. And I know that the instruments are gone now because there's no longer a need for them anymore. It's coming to the holy place, not the most holy place. They're down now. There's but one thing left, and it's to stand in the presence of God. Stay with me now. Stay with me now. Stay with me now. The sacrifice, the blood, the cleansing, the word of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the sacrifice on the bronze altar, the blood which was sprinkled for our sins, the cleansing which took place at the bronze basin, the word of God represented by the table of showbread, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit signified by the seven golden candlesticks, the power of individual and corporate prayer testified to by the altar of incense was designed to get us back to where we started. The most holy place of the sanctuary, where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt, was to encourage us to continue through the process. In other words, God says, I don't care where you are, you must keep on pushing, keep on moving. I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I may just be going and beginning where I get washed up. I may be filthy still, but I'm getting washed up, but I'm not going to stop. I still got something I got to get. I got to get into the presence of God. The sanctuary was given to show us that the Christian life is a steady, gradual, but progressive movement. toward becoming like Christ. Signs of the Times, 1893. By communion with God, we may constantly have a cultivation in mind and heart and character that will elevate us and direct our thoughts heavenward, that we may become partakers of the divine nature. That we may become partakers of the divine nature. That we may become partakers of the divine nature. We are to be human agents that will cooperate with divine intelligences. We are to be quickened under the influence of divine power that will not only strengthen us, but attract our minds from the dust and rubbish of earth, that will set us free from the polluting, deceiving influences of the world, so that we may contemplate heavenly things. Through this influence, our hearts are to be purified, our affections sanctified, and set not upon earthly things, but upon heavenly things. The treasure of earth will soon pass away. And what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The soul, the soul, the soul, your soul, my soul. The soul is capable of purification. The soul is capable of sanctification. It is capable of attaining, through the offering of Christ, the heavenly treasure, even the gift of life. That's a mess with the life of Jehovah. So what good is the sacrifice? What good is the blood? What good is the cleansing? What good is the word of God? What good is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? What good is the power of individual and corporate prayer if I remain who I am and if I remain where I am?
Christ!
Yes. The dying is dead.
Right.
Made it! when I tell redemption story, angels are going to fold their wings because angels have never felt the joy that my salvation brings. And so John puts it eloquently in 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone that has this hope purifies himself, even as he is pure. And I will tell you again, fire does not consume fire.
Right.
When I see Jesus,
yes.
Amen. Yes. All of our struggles, yes. All of our troubles, all of our problems will be over. When I see Jesus, amen.
Yes.
We will become like Jesus.
Yes.
The throne room, the Shekinah glory of God is our manifestation and our destination. The throne room, the Shekinah glory of God, is our manifestation and our destination. In the most holy, we stand before the very presence of God. Our manifestation is that God's glory is completely and perfectly reflected through us. Right now, we look through a glass dark, but then we shall see it clear.
Yes.
And we shall know even as we are known. The Bible says that we, as all with open faces, are beholding, as if we're looking into a mirror, the glory of God. And we are being transformed into that same image from one degree of glory to the other. This comes through the Spirit of God. Jesus. And so, the very presence of God is our manifestation. Our manifestation is the glory of God, completely and perfectly reflected through us. Signs of the Times, August 18, 1887. The more closely we live to Jesus, the more clearer views we will have of his loveliness. As we behold him in his purity, we discern more clearly our own faults of character. We yearn after him and for that fullness that is in him and that shines out in the perfection of his heavenly character. As we behold him in his purity, we discern more clearly our own faults of character. We yearn after him and for that fullness that is in him and that shines out in the perfection of his heavenly character. And by beholding him, we become changed into his image. Look upon Jesus, sinless as he. Father, impute his life unto me. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe. Cover me with his life and make me whiter than snow. Cover me with his life, whiter than snow. Fullness of his life, then shall I know my life of scarlet. My sin and woe covered with his life, whiter than snow. People of old transgressions, red of the stains, my soul is afraid. But oh, to be covered, Jesus, with you, so that I can be safe from the law that now judges me. Covered with his life. I want to be consumed in the life of Christ. And that all of who he is, all that was manifested about Christ in the Gospels, that was foretold by the prophets, that was expounded upon by the holy apostles, that all of that, the fullness of Christ, might be revealed in us. intent. That now that the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God according to his eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ might live in me, and I might die in him, and that he alone might reign in our lives. So that my speech is his speech, my thoughts his thoughts, my motives his motives, my action his action. I might know him. I want you to know him.
Yes.
I want to be able to say he is my friend. As he has said that I am his friend. He knew me, and now I want to know him. He became me, now I want to become like him. That I might experience the true peace and bliss and blessings that comes when I stand in the presence of God. And that is heaven. Heaven is not the streets of gold, it's not the crown, it's not the white robe, it's not the tree of life, it's not the river that flows through the midst of the throne. Heaven is being in the presence of God. That's why when the disciples saw Jesus transfigured before them, the Bible said the only thing they could declare was, it is so good for us to be here. And when I get to heaven and I'm standing in the presence of God, I will declare it is good just to be here. So good just to be here. And the Most Holy, we stand before the very presence of God. Therefore, our destination, our manifestation is his glory. Our destination is God's glory. God intends to completely restore his image in us. We shall so resemble the glory of God that Revelation 3:21 says we will sit on his throne. We shall so resemble the glory of God that 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3 says that we will judge the world and even angels. We shall so resemble the glory of God that Isaiah 40, verse 31 says we will mount up with wings like eagles. We shall so resemble the glory of God that 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53 says, we shall possess immortality, for this corruptible will put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So then when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, that from the same shall be brought to pass, that death is swallowed up in victory. As the music begins to play. Manuscript release. Number 9, page 375. Jesus came to our world and took upon himself our nature. And he was assailed with all the temptations that men will be tested with. But Jesus did not yield to sin. He maintained the full perfection of heavenly character. It is such a character built after the pattern that constitutes our fitness to see God. It is such a character built after Jesus' pattern that constitutes our fitness to see God. Without Christ, we can do nothing. We must come into close relation with Jesus. Our life must be hid with Christ in God. Like Moses, we must be hidden in the cleft of the rock. And then we shall behold the glory of God. God designs that the divine shall be united with the human. Man, though fallen, need not remain enfeebled and degraded. Man, though fallen, need not remain enfeebled and degraded through sin. Our characters must be formed in this life by looking daily at Jesus, and in whose life and character the grace of our heaven and true attributes is revealed. We are to be called partakers. Yes! We are to be called partakers of the pure and such. Beholding Jesus and becoming things of the world. Why am I allowed to come there? Because when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. You acted just like I acted. You act so much like me, you might as well go ahead and stay with me. You act so much like me, you might as well sit up there with me, babe. Man, we love and talk and have so much of life, we might as well spend the rest of our lives together. Tell the temple. I love the way the Revelation puts it. He says he's going to tear the temple down, but he's going to make me a pillar in the temple of my God. Before the throne of grace, I shall stand before my Jesus. That is life's ambition. Degrees will come and go. Human accolades will be tossed aside. Strong bodies will become weak. Healthy minds will become enfeebled. The legs that once moved with such grace will become old and tired and labored in their walk. But there is one thing that will pass the test of time on this side of Jordan and shall remain until we spend eternity with Christ. And that is the character that God develops in us. That is the purity that God develops in us. That's the holiness that He develops in us. It shall never disappear. It shall never be taken away. It shall never fade. It'll be like gold trying in the fire. And that character will afford us the privilege of standing in the presence of God. And when it's all said and done, as the music is playing, when it's all said and done, God is going to take us right back where we first started.